I'd like to have you turn to the book of Ruth this morning. Now, the book of Ruth is right after, in the Old Testament, right after Judges. It's a small book. But we want to read a few verses in that first chapter. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1. We're going to read a few verses here to get the context. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the women were left of her 2 sons, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her 2 daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? For are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, and under her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I'll go. Whither thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Just a little review of what we just read. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, they flee from a famine. There's a famine going on in the land of Judah. And they go and they sojourn in the land of Moab. While they was there, his 2 sons marry women of Moab. And in the space of 10 years, both, amen, the father Elimelech, amen, and his sons die. Naomi with no husband or sons, amen. And because she heard that the Lord had blessed her own country with plenty of nourishment, sets out to return to her own people in Judah, amen, where they would have plenty of nourishment, and she would be accompanied, and their daughters, amen, daughters-in-law, wanted to accompany her as she left. So she endeavors to persuade her daughters-in-law to return to their people. She pleads with her daughter-in-laws to return to her own people and there to marry husbands and have a home. Amen. But Orpah returns. But Ruth accompanies her mother-in-law. We want to look at verse number 18 for our text this morning. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. What does the word steadfastly actually mean? It means immovable. It means determined. It means loyal. And also means firmly fixed. She had her mind made up. Otherwise, and she wasn't about to change it. Her commitment is found in verse 16 and 17. When she said, whither you goest, I'll go. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What an example Naomi, amen, must have been to her daughters-in-law. Amen. They saw something in Naomi, amen, they hadn't seen in anyone else. Amen. Amen. Her daughter-in-law was not an Israelite, but she lived in the home of a righteous mother-in-law. And when she arrived back in her own city of Bethlehem, the whole city was moved by her return. It appears that Naomi was not only well-known, but she was highly respected also at Bethlehem, which would be proof that Elimelech was also highly esteemed, amen, there in that city. Naomi had kept the faith even in a strange land. What Ruth saw, and no doubt heard concerning the God of Israel, amen, went deep into her heart. She had her mind made up that she was going to stay with her mother-in-law and all that she stood for. She said, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Amen. She was going to dwell with her people, and serve her God. Her sister Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Amen. She was going to return to her people. She didn't have the same commitment. Amen. As Ruth stuck, amen, with Naomi. Now, Ruth's commitment puts a challenge to you and I this morning. It pleases God to have one sold out to the place where they have a mind that is steadfast and they cannot be moved. Look at the steps of consecration in these verses. Where you go, I'll go. Ready to follow Naomi, amen, wherever she went. And that's what our commitment means. Amen, our commitment to the Lord needs to be. Listen to the words of Jesus. Mark the 8th chapter, verse number 34, says this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Again, in Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The disciples left their profession or their living, and they followed Jesus Christ. Some fished for a living. Amen. One was a tax collector, but all had a profession to take care of their families. Now, we don't see too many called to the mission field today. We don't see too many called to the evangelistic field. Not too many called, amen, to be a pastor. Not too many callings going on today. Oh, you hear a lot of barking going on, but not too much action. You know, church, there's a great need for workers in the kingdom of God. And there's always a select few that will be there. Some with great zeal, some have great zeal, but no calling. Somebody might say, well, I would go, but I don't know what to do. The first thing an individual needs to do is make yourself available. Does God, amen, does God know that you are available? Have you made yourself available? Amen. There's always a need of choir members. And there are ones with great talents and gifts, setting, not wanting to get involved. There's always need workers at camp meetings. And you hear me, every single camp meeting, I say the same thing. We need workers. We need workers. We need workers. Amen. My daughter always comes to me, amen, after every sign up. And she says, Dad, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't have enough workers. Somehow or another, we always manage to get by. Amen. It's almost like you have to beg ones. Amen. To work. Now, you know there's a camp meeting coming up. We know that every year. Every single year we know we have camp meetings. 3 times a year. So you know they're going to need workers. And I say, why don't you make yourself available ahead of time? Amen. Acts 8th chapter. It tells, Acts 8th chapter is a wonderful chapter in the book of Acts. It tells us of a great revival that broke out in Samaria. Verse 7 of that chapter says that there were unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. Came out many that were possessed with them, many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Philip was the one that God used to get it going, and he was used to do the preaching. But soon after, God saw an honest hearted Ethiopian, a eunuch, crossing the desert, trying to understand the scriptures. Well, God called the busiest man in the revival. Did you ever think of that? Look who God called. Amen. To go visit one man in a desert. I'm sure that there were others who had more time. Amen. Than Philip did. Many times you see the same ones, church, going on visitation, on work days, always volunteering to do whatever is needed. You know, when I think of that eunuch, I think of how God cares for every soul. Yes, there was a lot getting done at Samaria. Amen. There was a lot of devils being cast out. Amen. There was people being healed. There was people being saved, one to the Lord. But off here in a desert region where nobody knew but God. And God inspires the busiest man in that revival to go preach to him. There was others, no doubt. Maybe they took part, but they didn't do the preaching. They wasn't involved as he was. Amen. And many times, that's what God does. Somebody might say, why does God do that? Because he knows they'll go. If God lays and God inspires them, lays it on their heart, he knows they'll carry out the burden. But God cares for every soul. Ezekiel the 18th chapter, verse number 4, says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If God sees a spark of honesty and desire to serve you in your heart, then I guarantee you, God's going to send you help. Amen. I'm sure there are ones sitting around today with gifts, amen, qualifications, sitting idle, comfortable, amen, and let somebody else take care of it. You know, you cannot put a price on the value of a man's soul. Many today are selling their soul so cheap. So cheap. Some are, amen, selling their soul for a pack of cigarettes. Think of that. A pack of cigarettes. Some would sell their soul. Some for drugs. Amen. Just for a hit. Just to get high. Some selling their soul for money. Some for their own way. Isaiah the 53rd chapter, verse number 5. Listen to the prophet. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now listen to this 6th verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Some, amen, want their own way. Some, amen, are just wrapped up in a good time. Some for their friends. The scripture says in Matthew 16:26, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Otherwise, what does a man gain and what is there one could give as valuable as that soul you're carrying around? It's Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse number 10. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. God cares for every soul. It makes no difference how we looked, how much money we had, where we were from, what we were doing. All God was concerned about was our soul being brought to him. You know, dear ones, this morning, you might be here and you might not be saved or serving him. But you're going to have to keep stumbling over the top of love to stay in sin. If you have to step over different signs or warnings God's put before you almost daily, maybe seeing a loved one or a friend get saved, maybe hearing messages of warning after warning, but not heeding them. But I want you to know the commitment that Ruth had. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. What a consecration this Moabite sister had. Where you want me to worship, Lord, is where I'll be. I'm going to stick with the truth. I won't be jumping from one congregation to another. I won't be going down to Babylon just to check it out. And where your presence is, Lord, is where I want to be. You won't see me following after somebody who's opposed to the congregation. You won't see me, amen, buddying up to one who has a problem with the pastor. Lord, where your presence is, I want to be. If it's in prayer service, I want to be there. If it's in the worship services, I want to be there. Thy people shall be my people. And you know, amen, you might say the main outreach of the Church of God is we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. Fellowship is a beautiful thing in the Church of God. 1 John, the first chapter says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. She said, thy God is my God. That's a great need today. That is having God as your God. Not just a God you hear about, not just a God you hear preached about or sung about, but rather having God, amen, as your God. Not just knowing the doctrine, but also knowing God in a personal relationship. The scripture says in Colossians 1:27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. John, the first chapter, verse 11, St. John 1:11, he came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Where thou diest, she said, I'll die. What a consecration from this Moabite. Where thou diest, I will die. Where your presence is where I want to be when I leave this world. Jesus died on the cross, and that's where you and I have to die, in faith, believing in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Willing to turn from all sin and follow after righteousness. Jesus died for sin, and we, you and I, die out to sin. Well, the latter part of the first chapter of Ruth, verse 17 said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What's this really saying? Well, just from another translation, it just makes it a little bit clearer, but doesn't change the meaning. Where you die, I will die, there will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. One thing for sure Ruth knew, amen, and that was, amen, she was going to, wherever the presence of God was, she wanted to be, amen. Now, there's a difference in commitment. You can read that between Ruth, amen, and her sister-in-law. Although they no doubt both loved Naomi, saw the difference in her life, than the Moabites. Amen. But she wasn't ready to denounce that old lifestyle. It didn't take much persuasion to cause her to return. You know, there's quite a few like that today. Their commitment comes out of their mouth, but not out of their heart. That's where the difference is, Church of God. Matthew 15 and 8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Ruth's commitment, amen, was bringing in the name of God, amen, was bringing in the name of God, amen, as her God. Amen. She's a Moabite, but she wanted the God that Naomi had to be her God also. And then the challenge that if she didn't keep her commitment, that God could deal severely with her. Well, as the book of Ruth goes on and it finishes, you will find that she was true to her commitment. We know that Ruth married Boaz, and the child that was born she gave to Naomi to become nurse of and take care of, plus she took care of her the rest of her life. Verse 15 says, "And she shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine own age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, had borne him." Amen. As we go on in this, I can't help but look, dear church, this morning at the commitment of a Moabite woman to the true God of Israel. As you follow her commitment to her mother-in-law and to God, we see the outcome of a life that was consecrated to God. Her name is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Matthew, the first chapter, verse number 5, "And Solomon begat Boaz a Rechab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse." What God can do with a consecrated life. From a pagan God to the one true God and a blessed life. From a life of disappointments to a life of blessings. Listen to the words of David as we start to close the message. 1 Chronicles, 29th chapter, verse number 5, says this: "The gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" David enumerates the gift which he designed for the building of the temple, and he exhorts all the princesses and all the people to do the same, to make their offerings. That word consecrate actually means to fill his hand or to bring an offering to the Lord. It takes a committed life, church, to follow Jesus all the way. But the rewards, the peace, the joy are like anything you ever experience outside of serving God. Some are going to be like Ruth's sister-in-law, Orpah, turn back to their pagan gods. Turn back to the old life. Turn back to a life of disappointments. Turn back to a life of loneliness, to a life of habits, to the bar scenes, to the good nights or good time nights. But listen to what the Word of God says, church. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, the end of that chapter. And if you'd read the book of Ecclesiastes, you would find that he used the word vanity probably more than any other book in the Bible. But listen to what he had to say. He's coming down now to the close of the whole book. And he pins these words in the last two verses of the 12th chapter. There's 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. And as he comes down to the end of the whole book, he's signing off, he says this. Let us hear the conclusion. The conclusion is the end of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is what life is all about. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every action, every work, every secret thing, and every secret sin that only God has seen take place is going to be brought into judgment. Ones are turning to the world, but those who want God as their God are willing to consecrate their whole being unto him. Ruth had her mind made up. He wasn't going to change it. The scripture says she was steadfastly minded. And her determination to stay with God reaped great rewards, great benefits. We don't know what happened to Oprah. The Word of God doesn't say what happened to her. It doesn't say what happened when she went back to the Moabite country. But this much we do know, it couldn't be as blessed as Ruth was. Amen. You know, in closing, I'm sure that there were ones who would have the same commitment as Ruth and put their faith in Jesus Christ and not themselves, they would reap great benefits this morning. Amen. You know, when I think of the ones in the Old Testament, such as his sister right here, Ruth, and I look at that commitment that she had. Now, these are in the days of the Old Covenant. These are in the days when, amen, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on all flesh. This is back in the days when, amen, they didn't have the things that you and I have to live for God with. But her commitment surpasses many, many today, amen, that have got all the benefits of being under the new covenant. What a commitment she had. Your God will be my God. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And where you die, that's where I'm going to die also. Amen. Where was she going to die? In the land of Judah. She didn't turn back to Moab. She went into Judah, into Bethlehem in Judah. Do you have that kind of commitment this morning? If so, amen, keep that commitment going strong in your heart. You're going to reap great rewards, amen, from generation to generation. If you don't have that commitment, you need to have, because church, that's what it's going to take to make it. We're going to have to be committed as never before. There's more things out there now to distract, pull you away. A lot of things going on. But keep that commitment. Following God. Amen. What'd she say? Your God is my God. Where you lodge, I'm going to lodge. And where you die, I'm going to die. If I don't do that, God deal with me severely. But we know by reading the book of Ruth, she did just what she said, what she committed to.